So page 635, Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, we will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then you will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without a fear of harm.
Thanks, Aaron, very much. Please do keep Proverbs 1 open. So this evening, a new series looking at the book of Proverbs. Let's be quiet, shall we, before the Lord, before we delve into his word and ask for his help. He is the one that gives wisdom. Father, as we begin this new series looking at Proverbs, we're very conscious that we lack wisdom and that you are the one who gives wisdom. And Father, as we study this remarkable book over these next few weeks, please transform us. Help us to live lives which are wise, lived in the fear of the Lord. And help us this evening, particularly as we begin this series, looking at Proverbs 1. Teach us your ways, we pray. And may each one of us leave this place wanting to fear you and honour you and live wise and godly lives for your glory's sake. Amen. Now, in recent years, sat-navs have transformed the way many of us get around in our cars as we go about our daily business. Although, frankly, what's wrong with an ordnance survey map and a pen? I do not know. But anyway, we've come to depend on them, haven't we, to get from A to B. But often, from time to time, you hear about sat-nav disasters. For example, a school bus driver ruined a class outing recently when he delivered a coachload of primary school children to a side street in North London. The class from Orchard Lee Junior School in Kent were looking forward to visiting Hampton Court, home of Henry VIII. But instead, they ended up in the lesser-known Hampton Court, a small block of flats on a housing estate in Islington, North London. Now, what is remarkable is that at first, no one noticed the mistake. Anyway, until a teacher on the trip realised that the only landmark nearby was the Highbury and Islington tube station. Teachers beware. Now, if navigating our streets is tricky enough, how about navigating our lives? What guidance is there to help us as we seek to steer a course through all the ups and downs of life? Well, this book of Proverbs that we're looking at this spring is just the sort of thing we need, because Proverbs is God's wisdom about how to live life well. Not necessarily to avoid difficult times and hard challenges, but rather to enable us to navigate through life in the best way possible with God as our guide and our helper. So often the wisdom of the world says, look inside yourselves. That's why the shelves of our bookshops are heaving with self-help books, help on how to make life better. But the Bible says you can't look inside yourself. You need to look outside yourself to the living God, because wisdom begins, as we'll see, with a recognition that there is a God to whom we are accountable, and it's his way that needs to be lived if we're to do life well. That is what it means to live wisely. So the book of Proverbs is all about what life looks like when God is right at the center, when he is the one we fear, how to live a life in practice which honors God. If you like, Proverbs is holiness in action. It is a very, very practical book. It is full of advice on all sorts of things, as we'll see. And the word Proverbs use to describe this way is called wisdom. Just glance down to chapter 1, verse 1, and see how the book begins. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. So it's a book by a chap called Solomon. He was a king of Israel. There are other authors in the book as well, but by all accounts, Solomon is the main author, and he was very wise. He's been given wisdom by God to help him run the country, as we'll see in a moment, when he was king. And later on in his life, he writes down some of these wise sayings. And the theme that runs all the way through the book is, which way do you want to live? Do you want to live God's way, the way of wisdom, which is the best way to live? Or do you want to live your way, which is the way of folly, the foolish way to live? That leads to disaster. So as we study this book over the next few weeks, we are going to be challenged on practical holiness, how we live. Because if we claim to be God's people, we need to be marked by wisdom, and we need to listen to what God says and then do what he says. So just as we begin this evening, really sort of an introduction to Proverbs, we're going to look at three things. First of all, wisdom, what it is. And we'll see this in verses 1 to 6. What is wisdom? Now, I don't know how much of Proverbs you've looked at, if you've looked at it at all. Sometimes it appears to be sort of a slightly random collection of wise sayings that goes on for chapter after chapter. Actually, we're quite used to wisdom in our culture, if you think about it. People do have wise sayings they pass on. For instance, too many cooks spoil the broth, or always look before you leap, that sort of thing, once bitten, twice shy. They're not always easily understandable, are they? Like the primary school teacher who tried to teach her year one class a few proverbs. She gave them the first line, and they were to fill in the end of the proverb. Here's some of their responses. The pen is mightier than pigs. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. Two's company, three's the musketeers. If at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. That's what five-year-olds say. They're very profound. But like those five-year-olds, it is very easy to misunderstand so much of the Proverbs and its wisdom teaching. It becomes clearer when we examine the author's introduction in verses 1 to 3. So back to verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. What does Solomon say these are for? Verse 3. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. These words, says Solomon, are to enable you to live a wise life. Wisdom fundamentally is about how to live. That is what the book is about. Wisdom, instruction. That is exactly what Solomon asked for when he began to govern the land as king back in 1 Kings 3. No need to turn to this, but let me read what he prayed for. 1 Kings 3. This is Solomon's prayer. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So do you notice what he says? He needs wisdom to decide, to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. So we might define wisdom in this way. Wisdom is the ability to see and the inclination to choose the right and best course of action. It's the ability to see and the inclination to choose the right and best course of action. And in Proverbs language, that is going God's way. It is to do what God says and to live his way. And of course, sometimes that's very costly. It's very hard to do the right thing, the wise thing. But as we grow in wisdom, we'll be able to better discern God's way and to walk in it. And notice Solomon goes on in chapter 1 to say who this wisdom is for. In verse 4, for giving prudence to those who are simple. Knowledge and discretion for the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Wisdom is for the simple, not the intellectually challenged, but in Proverbs language, those who recognize they need wisdom, those who are humble-hearted. And notice there is no age level. Even the young can acquire wisdom, and even those who think they are wise can add to their wisdom. So it's important to understand wisdom is nothing to do with intelligence or how much education you've had. In fact, I've had the privilege of meeting some extremely intelligent people who are very, very foolish. Some might know a lot, but their wisdom, as the Bible understands it, is minimal. A 5-year-old child can have more wisdom in the Bible's understanding than a 65-year-old theology professor if that man has not sought the wisdom of God and submits himself to the fear of the Lord, as we'll see. It's not about intelligence. It's not about education. It's not about learning lots of facts. It is about submitting yourself to the living God and doing what he says, going his way. And therefore, every single one of us here can be wise. Now, I trust there is not a Christian here today who does not want such wisdom. It'd be great to be known as someone who is wise, who has acquired a disciplined and prudent life. It'd be great, wouldn't it? And if we're serious about it, says Solomon, we need to hear what he's saying over the next few weeks. We need to read his book. It's interesting, lots of sort of famous Christians have immersed themselves in the Proverbs. Billy Graham was one. He read a chapter of Proverbs every day. It's interesting that in his very, very long public ministry, he retained his integrity and his holiness in the harsh spotlight of the public eye. He was a man of one book, the Bible, and particularly one book of the Bible, the Proverbs. He delved into God's wisdom and lived a very godly and wise life. And you and I can be that too if we hear and apply what Solomon is saying. We need to be people of the word. Wisdom is the ability to see and the inclination to choose the right, best course of action. In other words, to listen to God and do what he says. So that's the first thing, wisdom is. Let's see what it's for. What is it for? Now, in a sense, we've already seen this in our definition. Wisdom is the ability to see and do the right thing according to God's way of thinking. It is fundamentally about holiness. That's the point. And that becomes clear in verses 8 to 33. Now, one very, very important truth that we're going to come back to again and again and again over the next few weeks is to understand that Proverbs is not case law. Proverbs is not law. Proverbs are wise sayings that need to be carefully applied in different contexts. They're not legal pronouncements that tells us what is true in every single situation. Just turn with me, just for a couple of examples, to Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. This is page 662. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. And there we read, verse 4, 26, verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Now, what is going on there? That is clearly a contradiction, isn't it? Well, no, it is not. In life, both things are sometimes the wise thing to do. Proverbs is not case law, it is wisdom. So sometimes someone says something utterly foolish, and it is best not to respond at all. It'll only make the situation worse. At other times, when something says something stupid, you need to expose it for that person's good and everyone else's good. And you might do that in replying in kind to what that person says. You see, Proverbs aren't law. They don't tell you what you must do in every single situation. They show you what is the wise thing to do in particular situations. Sometimes you answer a fool according to his folly. At other times, you don't. Let me give you a couple of other examples. Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 4. Proverbs 3, 3 to 4. This is page 637. So we read from verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Or have a look at verses 7 and 8 of chapter 3. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So can we conclude from that if you live the wise way, you will always be prosperous. You'll have a long life and a good name and a healthy, that sort of thing. Is that really true? Well, actually, to push that to its logical extreme is to be in the remit of the false teachers, to promise that sort of life. That's not what Proverbs is saying. The Bible makes it crystal clear. Psalm 73 is a good example. Sometimes the bad guys win and the good guys lose. But there is a truth here in Proverbs we need to understand, and that is this, that these promises are true, generally speaking, in the life in which we live. Proverbs is wisdom, not law. And it's saying, if you follow God's way, by and large, it is good for you. It is the good thing to do. It's always the good thing to do. And by and large, it turns out well. But it's not a promise that you will always be living in good health, that sort of thing, or you will always do well out of it. No, it's wisdom. Just go back to our definition. Wisdom is the ability to see and the inclination to choose the right and best course of action. It helps us to do the right thing and to choose the right way in a course of action. Let me try and illustrate this by way of a map. Just think of a city like Manhattan, part of New York in the United States. Anyone been to Manhattan? Yeah, a few. It's a fun place, great place to go. It's very easy to get around. You can't get lost in Manhattan because it's on a grid system. So you either go northwest, east, or south. There are no corners in New York, by and large. It's fantastic in Manhattan. It's very easy to follow, up and down, side to side. You only get into trouble when you go off the beaten track and cross through a back alley or the like. Stick to the streets and all is well. But imagine if there was an earthquake in New York and everything is shaken up. Boulders come on those straight streets and some buildings have fallen down. So your map of Manhattan with its grid system actually is still worthwhile. It's basically intact, and it will be foolish to ditch the map, but there are boulders in the way. It's a little bit messy. Now, that's the same with Proverbs. God has made an ordered world materially, and the map, so to speak, still works. When you live life in the grain of God's creation, when you don't go off the beaten track, then actually that is good. You'll be blessed. But of course, when sin enters the world, there was a moral earthquake. Life is messy, but the map still basically works. Living in God's world is the wise way to live. It still works. So if you keep yourself sexually pure, then you won't get STDs. You won't cause misery to your family. If we're godly in our relationships, as Proverbs urges us to be, it will be good for us. If we manage our finances well and generously, then that will be good for us and for others. But it's not absolutely true. Christians still die and get diseases and are persecuted and suffer financial loss. Sometimes the godly will suffer. We don't all live long lives and prosper, even if we go God's way. Wisdom is generally true in this life. Go God's way and it will be good for you. But it can be messy. What does all this have to do with Proverbs then? Very simply, Proverbs helps us to make wise and godly decisions. See, whilst it's true to say that we can marry who we want, or work where we want, or live where we want, it's not always easy to work that out, is it? That's where wisdom comes in. It shows us a bit more how to live in God's ways. We will need wisdom about where to live or what to do, and God gives us that in his word. Let me give you one other example. This is from chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, verses 8 and 19. 8 to 19. This is the problem of peer pressure. We'll discover over the next few weeks that Proverbs is written a bit like a dad telling his son some sort of wise things. He's passing on his wisdom to his younger son. And here the lesson is about resisting peer pressure. So notice what is said in verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast your lot with us and we will share the loot. And then the dad says, my son, don't go along with them. Don't set foot along their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. It's clear, isn't it? Says the writer, if sinners entice you, don't give in, because it will lead to disaster and sorrow. Verse 18, these men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. The problem, says the author, is we're so tempted to give in to peer pressure. He's saying resist it. Resist that pleasure, that pressure. It will only cause you issues. If you're tempted to cut corners at work, resist. If you're tempted to cut corners at school or whatever it is, or be morally complacent, resist. Resist the flow. Stand firm. Because, just go to verse 32, the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. See, Proverbs is for life. It is wisdom to live God's way. And the writer says, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the voice of the world? Or are you going to listen to the voice of the living God? And in situation after situation over the next few weeks, Proverbs will help us how to live wisely. But I've got one last thing to share with you. And that is where it comes from, where wisdom comes from. And that's in verse 7. You may have noticed I've missed that out. Actually, this is the most important thing. And here is where I want to end. See, where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And just go to chapter 9, verse 10, if you would. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. True wisdom is when you bow before the living God and start living his way. To fear the Lord is not to be afraid of him, although that is true. It is rather to stand before him in utter awe and to understand that he is the living God who demands our very lives. That is the wise way to live. True wisdom acknowledges who God is and walks in his ways. And so in Proverbs, there is a call. You're going to be wise? You're going to fear God and listen to him? Or are you going to be an utter fool and reject him and his ways? Wisdom or folly? Now, what's interesting, of course, we cannot live that way wholeheartedly because we're sinful. And that is why we must finish bowing the knee before the wise one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him is the wisdom of God. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are to be found. He is the one who died for us, to forgive us, to set us free to live the wise way. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said right at the end of the sermon, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock." Which begs the question, are we doing that? Are we living the way of Jesus, fearing him? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Over the next few weeks, we will see a lot of Proverbs. But if you don't fear the Lord, they will have no power in your life whatsoever. We will start getting wise when we first bow the knee before the living God and fear him. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you have put this particular book in the scriptures, which is so different from lots of other things, to help us live wisely. But before we get into this book, before we start looking at all these different verses, the very first thing we need to do, Father, is to acknowledge that you are the true and living God, that we must fear you and bow before you. Father, help us to do that, we pray, each and every one of us. And as we bow before you, then grant us the wisdom we need to look at, to live lives which are godly, lives of fearful holiness, lives which are useful for the kingdom. So as we begin this series, Lord, please teach us the wise way and help us to live lives which please you, for your name's sake. Amen.